Let's start today from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I want to teach something today, which is with a lot of reluctance. I won't lie to you. I decided to do it. How I justified it to myself is that my friend Chuk said something once. If it's the truth, it must be told. You understand that? And if you want people to learn the truth and you don't teach it, where are they supposed to know it from? And like I say all the time, God has an opinion about everything. Did you hear what I said? He has what? An opinion. In fact, he has more than an opinion. He has a will. That's more like it. He has a will about everything. There is nothing that he doesn't have a will about. All right, so for that reason, I want to say something interesting today. I won't tell you what I want to talk about. I'll just start talking. Is that all right? I'll just continue teaching, and along the line, you'll find out exactly what I want to talk about. And I won't even give you the top, because when I finish, at the end of the day, you will know, you learn something. So I said, we're talking about the basics of faith. We're running them the series up now. Today will be faith basics number 40, I think. That will be the 40th message. What we have been doing, actually, is to reestablish the fundamentals and the foundations of faith in the life of Christians. I find out that a lot of people don't understand what Christianity is about. Now, these 40 weeks we've been talking about it doesn't mean we have said everything. There's so many things that are still unsaid, but we'll just have to leave it and go on to other things. We have tried to establish what it means to be righteous, what righteousness really is. We have tried to explain what it means to be saved, what salvation is. We've talked many things here and there, how to walk in the will of God, all right? What faith really means when you claim you are walking by faith as opposed to living by faith, what those things mean. And then the last few weeks, I taught about the matter of money, how to balance the issue of money as a believer. And of course, we didn't talk in details about all these things, just to lay some quiet foundations again. Now, in concluding that, okay, there was something I said about the last few weeks, and I said, balance is what? Balance is the key to life. I said, the problem is sometimes that people just like laws, because laws are simple. Laws are actually very easy. They are very, very, very easy. You think that what do I mean by they are easy? You can make difficult laws, but the real difficulty in life is to give a man liberty and have him decide what is right and what is wrong. It's really difficult, all right? But that's where we must reach as believers, not as deciding by ourselves, but as deciding by the Spirit of God. Are you getting my point? That is, having drunk of the Spirit of God, we will now know how to make decisions. That's what the Lord meant when he said, I will write my laws upon their hearts, and no one will have to say to his neighbor, know the Lord. That is, the Spirit of God in them will help them to make right and godly decisions each time that they come under certain circumstances. And I said, you can never get to that point until you know what the basics are. I quoted them, I think somebody was quoting him for me, Pablo Picasso, who said that first learn the rules, then you can break them. Do you understand my point? That is, you must learn the things that are fundamental first before you can say that you are beyond that. One thing I said in the last few weeks, which I need to emphasize again, Christians reason. You know, I said that before. We use our brains. We use our minds. Actually, we have better reasoning faculties than the people of the world. We have better brains, better minds. What makes us even more superior, all right, than just the inherent better abilities, is that we have another source of wisdom that they don't have. Elihu said to Job like this, I will draw my wisdom from afar, and I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. When I watch people who think they are so advanced that they don't believe there is God, I hear them speak. I feel very sorry for them. All I can see is foolishness. You are deriving all your understanding and all your knowledge about the things of life from things that are material. You are a very foolish person, honestly. Do you understand what you are very foolish? Because, I mean, the simple trend of technology these days, if you know the issue of radio waves and all of that, just a few hundreds of years ago, nobody knew they were there, and they were there. It's not human beings that started radio waves. Scientists won Nobel Prizes by realizing that radio waves were being emitted from the cosmic systems above us. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, but then we didn't know they were there. Does it mean they are not there? Are you getting what I'm saying? If you go into a bush, you understand when I say bush now, to people who are not developed at all, you carry a mobile phone and you're walking on the road and say, okay, so what now happened? All right, okay, tell them, they are going to look at you like, this guy has gone crazy. Why? Because he has his hand to his head and he's talking to himself. You are the one that knows you have a mobile phone and you are talking into the phone. Now, somebody will now come and argue that there is nobody, he's not talking to anybody. Until you give the person a phone, he will not know you are talking to somebody. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, Until you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not know that God is there. You can sit down there and be fooling yourself that there is no God. What am I trying to explain? All right? That is, the people of the world, they are inferior to us in reasoning because there is a faculty, there is a realm of information that we tap from that they don't have. Are you getting my point? But we reason. We don't just get up and walk, you know, by, in quotes, the Spirit. We reason. When we talk about walking by the Spirit, the first and foremost thing about walking by the Spirit is walking according to the revealed Word of God. It is when you have satisfied that, or God finds out that you do not have the capacity to understand some things, that He superimposes a supernatural phenomenon upon you. Are you getting my point? It's not as if you just threw away all reasoning. No, a Christian reasons with the Word of God. We use the Word of God to reason. Very, very important. Let's not forget that. All right? Now, what I've been saying is a matter of balance. So, it's not that we just sit on the side of using our brains alone. We now know, all right, that we use our brains, but sometimes God will come with a manifestation of the Spirit beyond that which we are able to reason out with the mind that He has given us. Very important. That's what we are as believers. We don't wake up in the morning expecting not to get up until the Holy Spirit whispers. If He whispers, good. If He doesn't whisper, the normal thing to do in the morning is to get up. Do you understand my point? Now, I'm just reviewing some of the things we have said up to this point. Now, while rounding off, I just want to pick on an interesting issue, which I say I won't tell you exactly what until we have... it's a topic that nobody teaches these days, and there's no very few, in quote, word people. All right? I only hear this kind of teaching. Funny enough, in a manner in which I don't accept, all right? I only hear from certain quarters, and unfortunately, what they preach, I don't accept it. But let's try and balance the Word of God. Now, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I just want to use this one to introduce the subject. Or should we read? Okay, no, let's read the one very famous one. We'll still come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, but let's start with 1 Samuel chapter 16. I already established some things along this line earlier. Let me just review. Let me say those things I said before again. Paul, there's a difference. Let me put it like this. When Paul explained the matter of righteousness, and he said righteousness is by faith, some people went and said, it means that whatever it is you do outside doesn't matter. You're already righteous. Are you getting my point? There's what they call the doctrine of eternal salvation. How many have ever heard that expression before? That is, once you are born again for life, there's nothing you can do to unborn you again. You get my point? That is, you are a child of God eternally. Derek Prince said something. He said, if you hear two people disagreeing on something, one holding to one extreme, the other on the other extreme, he said, most of the time, the truth is in the middle. Are you getting my point? I've heard people say that if a Christian just sins and you've been walking righteously all your life, then as you're about to cross the road, somebody annoys you, just slapping, boza, and the car knocks you down and kills you. Say, for slapping somebody, you die and go to hell. You don't find it funny because you don't know whether it's true or false. The truth is that it's a big lie. God is not stupid. I don't have time to explain it now. They say, if you just commit one act of iniquity, and you did not confess it before you died, that's it, you're done for. I say, I would hate to serve that kind of God. He doesn't reason. He has this stereotypical way of doing things. That I just did something wrong now, and the next moment I just die. But I say, thank you. No, don't come this side. Oh my God, the Lord is good. Hey, really, let me not get into that because I don't have time. But I'll just give you some statements, all right? Straight. So some people say that, okay, that's how bad it is. But someone says that, no, it doesn't matter. If your life become an armor, I shoot everybody. Sure, you've given your life to Christ before. Nothing spoiled. If you like join Osama bin Laden, tie a belt around your waist, walk into the midst of a synagogue in Israel and blow everybody up. Well, God don't like it too, but you know you're His child now. Nothing spoiled. Become a career rogue, an armor, everything. Let me just tell you one thing. Jesus said, make sure you continue, or he said, repent, and I will not erase your name from the book of life. That tells me one thing. Names can be erased. I won't go into details now discussing whether the circumstances of that which they can be raised. But the fact is what? They can be raised. They can be raised. If you go and read this book, it will answer that question very well for you. I think The Triumphant Church by Kenneth Hagin. There are some stories in there which the Lord used to teach him some things which you will learn from. Is that okay? Now, let me get back to the main thing I was trying to say. So some will say that, look, no matter what you do outside, it doesn't matter. Righteousness is of the heart. And I told you several times before telling this story, I was on campus when the teachings came into university. Well, I met it, I think, about the same time I was coming in. And it was in the University of Benin then. And people were teaching the word of faith. And part of it, they taught righteousness, all right, by faith. And you saw a lot of misbehavior of human beings who claimed that it is not them that sin, you know, it is their body. That they are spirit beings, amen? And the seed of God dwells in them, amen? So if I kill you, it is my body that killed you. My spirit is born again, hallelujah. We heard all those kind of things. The one I'm leaning towards teaching this evening. People now say, it doesn't matter how you dress. After all, righteousness is of the heart. And then you see girls wearing part of the fellowship. Whether it is Snoop Doggy Dog they are going to worship, or it is God in heaven, you really don't understand anymore. And if you open your mouth, they say, listen, righteousness is of the heart. If a man believes in the heart, all right, he shall be saved. Don't forget what we've been saying. Righteousness, sorry, balance is what? The key to life. Hallelujah. Some, of course, are on the other extreme. Why should you be making up? You are saying that God did not make you enough. I say, bros, why did you dress up? Why didn't you dress down? Are you getting on the extreme? Balance is what? The key to life. So both extremes exist. Let me just say something quickly. Bible says that don't add to his word, all right, lest he make you a liar. Whether you are on the extreme of extreme holiness, in quote, on the extreme of extreme liberality, both of you are on extremes and you are adding to the word of God, and he will have to make you a liar. So none should feel more righteous than the other. I was in the camp, when I was on campus, that I felt more righteous than the extreme holy people. But I not be woman, I be man, so... But though, even then, child, there are things that... I was in a fellowship that had a lot of sense. We were always walking in the middle. We had friends on both sides. But for the rest of us, we had sense, we kept in the middle. It was very, very crucial, all right? Balance is the key to life. Now, I want to explain something. There's a scripture we used to use there, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's quickly read it. Where we got a lot of things we were seeing them from. I told, in fact, today when I was coming, I said, Lord, is this all I'm going to say today? I hope there's something more. Now, you know the story about when God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse so that he might anoint a new king in replacement of for Saul. Then he now said in verse 6, then it came about when they entered that he looked at Eliab, that is, the sons of Jesse were now walking in front of him, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. I did not just not accept him, but I rejected him. I did not just not choose him. I rejected him, meaning that I considered him. Are you getting my point? He must have been considered. And God said, for God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And then you know the rest of the story. Well, what he was saying in effect is that when God made a choice of who the king would be, he made his choice based upon what the heart is like. Are you getting my point? In fact, you know, was he here I was teaching or where? Last few days, I've been preaching the last few days somewhere. So I don't know whether I was here. Anyway, I was quoting that proverb that we quote all the time, that as a man thinks in his heart, all right, so he is. And I read it, I said, listen, what he was saying simply is this. It is not what a man says you use to judge him. You judge him by how he thinks, which makes it difficult for you to judge anybody. Are you getting my point? Because I said, don't eat the bread of a stingy man, because he says to you, eat, eat, but his heart is not with you. The next clause, almost in brackets, because as a man thinks in his heart, that is what really he is like. That's what Solomon was explaining. Are you getting my point? That his real character is how he thinks. And we know from the Bible that Absalom spoke very good words, but God looked at his heart and said, this guy is not right. You remember when Absalom was scheming to take over from David? If you came then, all right, to do anything in the courts of the king, Absalom will come, very big man, a prince in Israel. He will come down, pick you up by the hands, talk to you nicely and say, what's the problem? One man took my land. He said, how long have you been around? I said, 3 days. Nobody has listened to you. He said, nobody. He said, only if I were king, where I were the king, I will have structures for attending to things like this. As a man thinks in his heart, not as a man says with his mouth. All right? That's what he really is. And God looked at the heart of Absalom, that all these things that he's saying, they are not real. Are you getting my point? You are getting what I'm saying? That is, God looks at the heart and knows exactly what a man is thinking, and by that, he decides what the man is really like. So, based on that principle that I explained to Samuel, I have looked at the heart of Eliab, and it does not have the heart of a king that can replace Saul. But we stick a lot of times to say that God does not look at all on the outside. And I want to make bold to you, to say this to you today, that God indeed looks on the outside. He does not, it's just that he doesn't judge a man's character by what is outside. He said, what do I mean? Open your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 28. There's something that we should quickly note. Now, let me quickly say something. A man came to Jesus once and said, Master, which one is the greatest of the commandments? Are you following me? And what did the Lord say to him? What do you think? And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might, with all thy liver and all thy kidneys and all thy intestines. And the Lord said, you have well said. But there is another law that is not inferior to it. It says of the same level when we are ranking laws. Are you getting my point? And what is that one? Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Very good. Now, why did I tell that story again? It tells you that the Lord agreed that commandments had different rankings. Amen? I don't know whether you got my point. Jesus answered that question. They said, which one is the greatest? He said, what do you think? And the man said, he said, that's very correct. But there is one that is not inferior to it. Now, what I'm bringing out from there is this. He agreed that commandments have different rankings. And they are not all on the same level. If they didn't have, he would have said the greatest. Which one is the greatest? We better go and obey all of them. What was in trouble? Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, why did I say so? There are things that are central and they are core to Christianity. When was I talking about the balance, all right, being the key to life, which refer to the council that met in Jerusalem. And they set some things in place, all right? Abstain from sexual immorality, they told the people. They gave them some basic things, and they said, if you do these things, it will be well with you. Some things are basic. Now, one of the things we build denominations around in Christianity are the things that are not basic and are not fundamental. In fact, when Jesus was teaching the people then, when they were asking him about the law, he said, you tithe mint and cumin, vegetables, every little thing, recharge card that a man gets. He said, but you have neglected what? Weightier matters of the law. That is, they were under the law, things had different weights. What I'm bringing from there is this, all right? What I want to bring out is that in spiritual things also, that's the way it is. Things have different weights. In Christianity, things have different ways. They're not all on the same level. Unfortunately, we tend to camp around things that have little weight. We don't know how to overlook the things that are menial. Things that are light, we don't know how to overlook them. We sit on them and build denominations around them. For example, I've thought about it. People camp around denomination, whether they're baptized by immersion or by sprinkling. Are you getting my point? I don't think it's the right thing to camp around. And you say, Pastor Banky, you don't think it is weighty? I'll tell you why I don't think it's weighty. Paul boldly declared, he sent me to preach, not to baptize. Are you getting my point? People camp around. Do you believe that speaking in tongues is a sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Or you don't? And a man says, I believe a man can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he doesn't have to speak in tongues to prove it. You don't do anything. Then they camp and say, we're a church of, like Americans call them, holy rollers. So every service, we want to speak in tongues to harass everybody. The man speaking in other tongues, of course he should. Paul said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than ye all. But to create denominations based on it, I think is Christian underdevelopment. Let me just use that nice word. You follow my point? Yes. I don't think it is right. I don't think minor things should divide. No, it shouldn't divide believers. I told a man, told me once, my cousin actually, a young man, said that in their school, that there's this particular man, they all say, preaches heresy. And I said, oh, what does he say? Did he say Jesus was born of Joseph and not of Mary, or what? You know, maybe Joseph was the one that had the belly. And you know what I'm saying? That Joseph received the Holy Spirit and got pregnant. He said, no, that the man does not believe in tithing. I said, what? So that is why all of you labeled him as a heretic. You never heard Peter preach on tithing. You never heard Paul preach on tithing. You never heard James preach on tithing. You never heard any of these people preach on it, yet you decided. Now, I'm not talking about whether it is right or wrong now. I think you should be able to be in the same church. And I agree that you tithe. I don't believe it. I believe in generous giving. They say, you are missing something. They say, you don't know what you are missing. And we'll leave it there. We'll continue. After all, when you go, they say, do you want water? No, I want to drink a bottle of malt. No, I want Gouda. People did drink, and you are in the same party. I just can't have the party because somebody is not drinking Gouda. You are getting my point? I think Christians should grow beyond those things. Why did I say all of these things? What I'm talking about today, actually, is one of those things that I believe they are minor. That's why I put it towards the end. I told you I was even reluctant to preach about it. But it was the only thing that I believe the Holy Spirit left in my mind. And I thought about it before. I said, well, let's just dispense of it in a few minutes and we'll leave here. But even though it's minor, it's still important. Do you get my point? Yes, it is still important. And truth, if you want to grab it totally, let's grab every bit of it, all right, and try and balance it. I just said what I've said so far, for us to learn the things, that some things are less important than other things. Are you getting my point? Please bear that in mind. Now, where did we, okay, we're reading where, okay, I said she opened somewhere. Exodus 28. Just to prove that, even though, why I said all of these things, because I'm going to read this, I need to just say to you, first of all, that I'm not saying these are the things that God is sitting on in your life. No. It's just that we need to just learn some things. Exodus 28, I want to just bring out something there. Where I want to read up is verse 2, but I just like to read in context. In verse 1, it says, then bring there to yourself Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel, to minister as priests to me, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Now verse 2, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for what? Let me read it again. He said, you shall make holy garments. What did he say you shall make? It's not a holy hat that you make for your brother. It's what? A holy garment. If it didn't matter to God what he looked like outside, why is he making garments for him? Are you getting my point? He now emphasized that the garment must be of a particular type. It must be made for glory and for what? Beauty. Don't tell me God doesn't care how a Christian dresses. I don't believe he doesn't care. I don't believe he doesn't care. I just believe that it's not crucial. It's not the core of Christianity. Are you getting my point? No, it's not. It's not one of those things. But like I said, we're trying to grab every little bit of things before we just pack this issue of faith basics up. All right? But I think God actually has an opinion and he has a will. If you go and read my book, this is going to sound very funny. Great Faith Can Be Yours. I explained there that how a man dresses affects his faith. Oswald Chambers said something. That you cannot divide a man into spirit, soul, and body. A man is spirit, soul, and body. Are you getting my point? That you can't separate the three. There are three parts of the person. His spirit, his soul, and his body. And Solomon says something. I checked how to stimulate my mind, my soul, by consuming something in my body, wine. That is, the chemicals that enter my body affect how my soul operates. When Elisha was approached, he said, do what? Bring me a minstrel. Then the minstrel began to play. What entered his ears physically affected how his spirit connected with God. Don't tell me it doesn't matter what you listen to. It does. It does. It does. I think I'm a liberal person. One day, one brother entered my car and he saw a CD, Two-Face, Idibia. He said, Pastor, you listen to Two-Face. I said, what's wrong with it? He sings good music. He was shocked. One of them said, I'm a very liberal person. I think Bob Marley sings very well. But you know what? I can't listen to Bob Marley. Because anytime he starts playing, I don't know why, my spirit just can't sing along. Yeah. I'm not one that says, is it gospel music? No. I'm not like that. If it sounds nice, let's hear it. Like I always say, it's not all the doctors you see that are Christian doctors. Your tailor may be a Muslim tailor. In fact, the guy that sews my native clothes is an allergy. Are you getting my point? For that reason, if you are playing music, I'm not so into, is he a Christian or is not? A lot of those who call themselves Christian musicians are criminals. A lot of them are criminals. Christians are very kind people. No matter how useless your talent is, just call it gospel. We'll buy it to encourage you. So that's why I'm kind of a bit relaxed. There's one guy, I won't mention his name, I heard he has repented. I listened to him for the first time in my life after I heard he repented. He was wave in Nigeria. Everywhere you go, everybody's bubbling. Every church, they're bubbling to his music. Choir will sing his music. Once you bring the man's music, I know they sing. My wife said, what's your problem? I said, I know they sing. He said, that guy is a criminal. Maybe because I know of him. So in my mind, I'm irritated once the guy starts singing. If he starts on TV, as he starts like this, I flip the channel. And all he's singing is, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. From the bottom of our hearts. I get my friend, change that channel. That guy is a thief. I listened to him for the first time a few months ago when I heard of his repentance. This was after years of reigning in Christian music circles in Nigeria. You know, when they released Mandela at that time, a lot of musicians became believers. Because there was nothing to sing with Free Mandela. We don't have Free Mandela now. Okay, what else? Imprison Mandela. We are not imprisoning him. Leave him. You are getting on the next thing. Now, because, I think I'm a bit of a liberal person. I'm not, I will listen to you first. But despite that, I noticed that generally, 99% of the times, I don't enjoy secular music. Generally. One, most of them, their words are dirty. They are dirty. The first time I heard this guy, what's his name now? No, not Snoop. The first time I heard Snoop, actually, I never heard a man as talented as that, I thought. I was in my friend's house, so he left me, he went out, so to occupy myself, I put the CD in. Man, the guy released one line, I said, my God, this guy is too bad. You know what I'm saying? Then second line, third line, I said, this guy is really bad. I pulled the thing out. I said, excuse me. Ah. It's Shaggy, I was trying to remember. First time I heard Shaggy, I said, wow, talent, made in heaven. Even the devil can't do this one. He can't. And let me tell you the truth. Most men you hear, their talents came from God. It's how they are using it that came from the devil. The talent itself, about God give them. The method of using it is the one devil say, listen, forget that side. Listen, let me show you how to use it to make money fast. When you are singing righteousness, nobody go buy you. If you sing holy, I doubt, nobody's going to buy you. If you say, oh, young boy, be nice and take it easy, nobody will buy it. We say, puyaka, puyaka, shoot them. Ah, 1 million copies. You are getting what I'm saying? All right? First time I heard the man, I said, oh, this is talent. They did one trade fair. I heard him. Actually, my neighbor was playing in his car. And all I heard from it was, why me, Lord, why me? I said, oh, he's even saying my Lord, okay now. So they were doing trade fair. I didn't know anything about him. I just, you know, just on the way. And I saw one guy selling. You get shaggy, he said, yes, let me have it. I collected it. I went home. I played one track number one. Lagwaja caught me sleeping with the girl next door. Go punish your father. Come out of my music set. And sleep with any girl next door. You dey mad? What kind of insult is that? In my music set. My pioneer music set that I bought with my God-given money. And that kind of thing, they make NEPA blow equipment. You don't know. There are times you are playing something. Baba God will say, stop. Oh. And say, Lord, Pastor Frank say it doesn't matter. I'm waiting. Yeah. He says, stop. Oh. One angel will just shunt. Bam, boom. The thing will blow. And I'll tell you. Oi. The thing is dead. Now, why am I saying all of these things? Listen to me. Don't let anybody deceive you that what you listen to doesn't matter. It's not true. I like one thing. Prince Wowo said once, when he was doing his sex talk, Prince Wowo said that, he said, when you come to church and pastor said, don't let them touch you anyhow. You say, amen, praise the Lord. So anyway, go any boy want to touch, come on, behave. Then the young guy play P squared. And he said, touch me, I touch you. Man, no, they vex. He said, so next time somebody touches you, your body says, man, not supposed to vex. Is ministration. Somebody has ministered words. Let's even leave words now. Rhythm. They can even minister rhythm to you that disconnects you from heaven. I'm not joking about it. If a minstrel could connect Elisha to heaven, noise will disconnect you from heaven. And that's not a joke. That's why, as liberal as I think I am, most secular music, I say most, because like I told you, I'm open. It's when I hear you, as you gel or regel, you know what I mean, on gel or correct gel or disgel with my spirit. I found out that even some that are very nice and good, once I play two or three times, my spirit just says, I beg, there are things more edifying than this one going on. Not as if it is wrong in itself. That's why I'm not going to read now because of time. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I wanted to read just now. Paul said, okay, let's just read it for the sake of accuracy. Paul said, even though it is lawful, First Corinthians chapter 6, that was the first place we opened to before I now went to the other one to start. What I'm trying to establish is that your body is part of you. Are you getting my point? Yes, it is. And the things that affect your body, you can't eat too much as a good Christian. It's not good. Yeah, I'm serious about that. Let me tell something about Christians. We tend to make laws about things. I heard that in England of those days, maybe the days of them, John Wesley and Co., any Christian, any preacher that's fat, forget it, to no ministry for him. Because you know what it meant to them? He ain't praying, he ain't fasting. But of course, those are extremes. Those are extremes, all right? Those are extremes, all right? But at least tells you something. Christians know that it may not defile your body, but you have to do all things with moderation. I'll explain something as we go on. God has given us only 24 hours in a day. No matter how hard you pray, it doesn't become 26 hours. So wisdom, he said, teach us to number our days. David said that we might apply a heart of wisdom. Bear that one in mind. And Paul said, redeem the time because the days are evil. To redeem means to buy back. Something always gives for you to acquire something else. That's what it means. What am I saying? Everything you take, you spend time doing, there is something else you are not doing. It's called opportunity cost. Many years ago, Ken Hagin told us something. He said, I like a good detective novel. I like them. They are very nice. Except that, except in the last 20 years, I have not read one. I said, Bros, why not? He said, because I've not had the time. As a young boy, and I wondered now, wow, what do you do with time? My brethren, a detective or whatever novel, I'm not sure I've read one now in the last 15 years. Why? I have not had the time. I like very nice movies. I like very nice movies. Except that on the average, I watch one new one every 6 months or 1 year. You will give it to me, it's in my handle. Ha! My wife, this is a very good movie. We must watch it. We are going to watch it, too. We are going to watch it. Don't worry, we are going to watch it. Week one, week two, week three, week four. We are going to watch it. We will watch it, too. We must watch this movie. You know Slumdog Millionaire? It's, the talk is everywhere. I have Slumdog Millionaire. I have not watched it since I've had it. I don't know for how long. And people have been talking about it. To even discourage me further, they tell me that it's okay, Sha. It's not too interesting. That's the end of it. I end up watching movies I've watched before. You know why? So that I can watch for 10 minutes and stop. Watch for 10 minutes and stop it there. What am I saying? Paul said, okay, let me just read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So when talking about things being lawful, in verse 12 he said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. New American Standard. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. In answer, food is for the stomach, and stomach is for food. But God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. Now, let me just quickly explain what I'm saying there. What he was saying, in effect, is that even though you may argue on the letters of something, what is more important is we ask ourselves, how helpful is the thing that we are dealing with? And that's how I'm explaining some of these things. I'm persuaded this is not guesswork. I know that the kind of things you hear that you call music affects your behavior. It affects how you think. And you know, interesting part, you don't know it. You don't. One day I heard a story. One of my friends, Chuks, told me the story that, talking about rock music. People told me then that rock music is not of God. And I said, what do they matter? What does it matter? Doesn't matter. You understand my point? I guess my problem is I actually never heard rock music. The closest things I heard to rock music were Christian rock, which has been Holy Spirit based, cleaned. So I went, there's one particular musician called Petra Praise. Petra. Petra did Petra Praise 1. The one I got was Petra Praise 2. Petra Praise 2, it's beautiful. I'm still trying to get it. He sang a lot of gospel music with the rocky background. You understand my point? That's not rock. That is Petra. You don't get what I'm saying? Real rock is breathed from hell. That one is Petra. What Petra is doing is evangelism. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, he will sing his music that sounds like rock to those who sing rock, to play that live rock, hoping that they will listen to it. But as a matter of fact, those who really are into rock will not listen to Petra because he doesn't have the spirit that they are looking for. They just... No, but that one did they find. Your own does not go with, you know, it doesn't go with, you know, it doesn't turn the head. It makes us praise. That's not what we are looking for. So my friend showed me that once, two young people, they finished either attending a rock concert or watching rock on TV or listening to it. The next thing, they entered their rooms. By the time they came out, their parents couldn't recognize them again. They don't shave head for this side, blow this side, color this one yellow, wore green shirt, you know. The Bible says, woe to him that calls good evil and evil good. That is, they made beauty, all right? They corrupted beauty and called corruption beautiful. How can you scrape one side of the head and paint the other one yellow?